I'm not slandering your name. I'm just bringing the sexy to it.
Oh, God. Now I'm listening to... I gotta listen to it now. What the f*** did you do? You son of a bitch.
This is what happens when you let me run with real audio.
I hate you. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I'm Jamie J.J. Johnston, and I'm joined by...
Mike the Birdman Todd! Happy Wednesday, guys. How's it going?
Just me, or do you always sing your name?
You know, I tend to do that on this show. I guess because I'm feeding off of the energy of you, more or less.
I try to bring all of the energy, because I expend all of it on this show, and then I go and nap permanently for a week. That's all I do.
Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, how the hell are you?
I am fantastic, but I'm cold. I'm really sick of winter.
Like, yeah, as of right now up here in Canada, we're just kind of getting out of a really wicked snowstorm, but we also have this damned cold snap. It's actually so cold I cannot go outside because I'll have an asthma attack. So, yeah, winter can definitely go...
Suck a dick.
Yeah, or fuck itself in the rear end, however you want to look at it. I'm not a fan of it.
It just feels like it's been here for like 8 months, and it hasn't. But it's just, I want it to be warm again.
That stupid groundhog would be another 6 weeks of winter. Of course it's going to be another 6 weeks of winter! It's the same way it's been for the rest of the damn time! But, thank you, Wyerton Willie. That's the groundhog that's closest to us, whereas I'm sure you in the U.S. have... Puxatawny Phil. The rest of the world, you could give a shit less.
Wait, we actually look for a specific groundhog?
Yeah, yeah. There's this albino groundhog that lives up near Wyerton, Ontario. And he's an albino. And yeah. Now, I actually knew the family of this groundhog. God, that sounds really weird. The groundhog's keepers growing up.
That sounds a bit better.
Yeah, it was really weird. I really wish... See, the brother was all right, but the daughter was something of a... Man, this girl had a mean streak through her like you wouldn't believe. Even in grade 6, I'm thinking, man, you're going to cause someone to kill themselves someday. Good for you! She was just so mean. It's okay. I've gotten over it. We have therapy for that.
I was just going to say, therapy much?
That's right. Anyway.
It'll be okay one day.
It will be. So, you and I had a conversation the other day on Twitter.
It was more of a conversation via texting, and then we started bringing it to Twitter.
Like, man.
I got a couple extra followers because of that.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, so right now, this is a review in progress. I'm hoping to have it done by the weekend. I'm playing through Warner Brothers Games and Techland's Dying Light, that first-person zombie parkour game. Which, as I call it, Dead Mirror 2.05. You might be wondering, well, what the hell do you mean by that? Because it seems like Dead Island Mirror's Edge meets the look of Resident Evil 5. You know, it's not that it's a bad game. It's not a great game. It's a slightly above average game that I'm having a bit of a time putting down because now it's like, oh, now it's personal. Because that game punishes you when you die. You lose experience points.
It does punish you.
You can be knocked back levels, I think, if you die often enough.
I've never done that, but, I mean, the game can cheaply kill you.
Yeah, those super zombies, my God, die in a fire. In fact, there's this challenge section, which takes place entirely in this underground parking garage. That's the only challenge I haven't cleared yet because of those friggin' super zombies. But now I have super flares and automatic weapons, so we'll see what happens this time around. But yeah, you know what? I'm about 15% of the way through, but I'm doing all the side missions first, so I'm probably about 10 hours in. You can beat this game in 10 hours if you just follow the critical path. The storyline sucks for this game. My God, does it suck.
See, we have completely different experiences. You're playing on the Xbox, I'm playing on PC, which my PC can barely run this game. It's almost saddening. I'm going to have to get a new PC, or at least parts. And, like, you're not enjoying the storyline, and you're, like, lackluster for the mechanics of, like, parkour and zombies, where this is where our argument came from. You're like, it's Dead Island 2.0 with parkour. And you said that negatively. And I said, it's Dead Island 2.0 with parkour positively.
See, you know what? My main problem with this game is I hate the controls for it. Jumping mapped to the right bumper is a pain in the ass.
See, I come from playing bumper jumper. Usually left bumper was always jump.
Screw that.
Not that big of a difference for me. I've kind of gotten used to it real quick.
I don't like it, and I'm trying not that to affect my experience, but I can already feel it wearing on my controller. And I play a lot of Call of Duty, so that's a problem.
Can you not map it to a different button?
Nope.
No. See, yep. I don't know. PC's a little bit different, so.
I don't know. I mean, see, at this point, I would recommend people play it. But I wouldn't pay full price for it. But then again, maybe my opinion will change once I've completely finished it. But as of right now, it's slightly above average.
I'm completely different. I say it's slightly above average. I mean, it's not a perfect game. It's got a lot of bugs, a lot of issues, like any game at launch. The multiplayer... my experience is a little bit dulled because I'm on a PC that is crapping out, so I have a lot of lag issues. Not internet lag, my actual system's lagging when I'm playing multiplayer, so it's really hard to actually keep up with other people, like my buddies that are playing. They'll be sprinting, parkouring real quick, and my computer will start to lag down and be like, you're not going to keep up with them just because you're just dying. Like, the computer itself was dying, but my PC's, or my laptop here, is about 8 years old, has ATI cards. The game is optimized on PC for NVIDIA, and oddly enough, it actually interacts with Alienware computers, because mine is an Alienware laptop. It takes control of my lights. So the lights all on my keyboard, whenever you're playing, if you get attacked or, like, grappled, anything like that, all of the keys will turn red. And when you're in a safe zone, it turns green. The whole thing goes green, basically, like you're safe. And when you turn on your flashlight, all the lights will turn on to just standard white. It actually makes it feel like you just turned on a flashlight right beside you. Cool little things like that. I don't know. I'm a sucker for that stuff. Anyway, he's going to have a review up. He's probably going to say the exact opposite of whatever I say.
You know what? Like I said, I'm willing to give it a chance. The fact that I stayed up until 8 a.m. this morning playing it, that says something. But then
it
again,
means it's decent enough to at least
keep my attention. Playing. But then again, so did Destiny. Gaming's hottest, 7 out of 10. Anyway, what are we going to be talking about today, buddy?
We're talking about the exact opposite of PC and Xbox gaming. Nintendo GameCube.
Woo! Yes, that's right, guys. This is a console that I think turns 15 years old this year, if I'm not mistaken. I think this thing came out in... I'm just double-checking the year. This thing came out in North America in 2001. And
there's a nice borderline opinion of this console of it either being complete and utter shit or being amazing. I think you're going to be on the amazing side and I'm going to be on the shit side.
See, this is a console that... This is one of the things I remember buying back in 2000, and I think it was 2002, 2003. So this was...
You accidentally bought it because you thought it was a Nintendo lunchbox, right?
Yes. The main reason I bought this console was for exclusives, actually. And I know, that sounds really weird. When I found
Nintendo's
out...
only exclusives.
When Nintendo... announced that they and Capcom had teamed up to remake Resident Evil, the remake, so to speak, and they'd get another sequel called Resident Evil Zero. I was like, you know what? I'm on board for that, because Resident Evil canon at that time had become so convoluted. Like, you didn't know what the hell was going on. All right, let's try and clean it up. Here we go. Here's the new canon as established by X. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I remember buying this with one of my first real jobs, one of my first real paychecks, rather. And I bought this, I think I bought the Donkey Kong bundle or something. So I got that, and...
Wait, there was a Donkey Kong bundle?
If I remember correctly.
Like the Jungle Beat one?
I think so.
Drums?
Yeah. Yeah. Or something like that.
So you couldn't have got it right when it came out then?
No. Sorry. I'm getting my things mixed up. Sorry. I got that later when I sold it and had to rebuy it. Sorry. Now, anyway. So I remember getting it and I liked it, but I thought the controller felt really weird. Because Nintendo controllers, they're either really comfortable or they're really not. That's the way I find. In fact, I don't think I've had a super comfortable controller on a Nintendo console realistically since the Super Nintendo. Now, the Wii U's Pro Controller is the best controller that system has seen in a long time, but that's because it's a 360 controller with the analog sticks placed differently.
Yeah, I never really understood the GameCube controller. It just seemed odd. And it's really weird because I would say that most like competitive gamers for Smash Bros. And a lot of people think it's like the best controller out there, and I'm like, I don't understand it. I've never liked that controller.
See, I remember when I played competitive Smash Brothers, I didn't mind it, but I hated charging my Smash attack with that C stick. I find it a lot easier to do on the game or on the Wii U's Pro controller, probably because I've been gaming or something of that similar shape for X amount of years now.
Yeah.
So when at the height of my collecting for this console, the games I had that I remember clearly is I had all the Resident Evils for it. Even I think Code Veronica X was a bit of a rarity on the system, because I don't think they made too many. Now I've since sold them all off, which is kind of something I'd almost say I'm regretting, but I have the originals on the PlayStation, so what's it matter? Plus, you can get them digital for like $2 anyway. Yeah. I had Metal Gear Solid the Twin Snakes, which I found for $10. Totally worth it. I had Rogue Squadron 2. I had Rogue Leader, Rebel Strike, I think, or whatever the hell it was, the third one. I had Smash Brothers Melee. I had the... what else did I have? The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. Kicking myself in the ass that I sold this. What else did I have for this?
It's funny because that version of the game is worth a hell of a lot more than the Wii one right now. And it's only because the Wii one forces you to use the Wiimote. And nobody wants to use that fucking thing, so they all buy the GameCube version.
That's why I bought it. I actually found it at an EB Games for $10 back in, I think, 2000 and, like, friggin' 8, I think. I was going to some wedding to some person I didn't like. I had Beautiful Joe for it. I had Paper Mario, but I never played it. I had both Metroid Primes. I had Soul Calibur 2. I bought Animal Crossing, but I never got around to playing it, which I know sounds really fucking dumb. See, that's the thing. I bought a lot of games in the system because I could always find them used for, like, next to nothing. But I only ever played a few of them. I played, I had Super Mario Sunshine. I had, what the hell else did I have for this thing? I had Eternal Darkness, which I recently just sold for, like, $80. Couldn't believe someone paid that. I had the Wind Waker, obviously Smash Brothers, Resident Evil 4. Special memory with this game. At this point in my life, I had my surround sound hooked up to my GameCube, and since the GameCube didn't support true surround sound, you could have like something that emulated it more or less, I think. Don't quote me on that. I was playing Resident Evil 4, and there's a part where Leon and Ashley are going through some castle, and there are these monks, and they're just chanting and shit. And if they're just off screen, they'll just sit there and just keep chanting. And I'm playing in the dark in my apartment. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black outside. It's the middle of a snowstorm. Basically, if the end of the world could have a scene, that was it. And it just, I went to the bathroom and I left the door open. So I'm sitting there doing my business and just this creepy chanting just kind of echoing throughout my apartment. I've got these hardwood floors. My walls are pretty bare at this time. So sound is reacting differently with the environment. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, I need to get back and unpause this.
Because you turn this off now.
Oh my God. It was such a good experience. And I remember just having such a good time with Resident Evil 4 at that time, because I really didn't think Resident Evil's controls would translate well to this controller, because obviously there's that big friggin' A button in the middle, but it really worked, all things considered. And it was just one of the best experiences I've had with a Resident Evil game, and the fact that they changed up the formula, that it worked, surprised me. I did not expect a game that didn't involve Raccoon City, that didn't truly involve zombies, to be any good. And Resident Evil 4 is one of the best games in that series, if not one of the best games of all time. So those are some of my early memories with the GameCube.
My main memory, since I never actually got one, because we became a PlayStation family at this time, we jumped ship on Nintendo because, well, I followed Square Enix. But my buddy, he had a GameCube at the time, and he had Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. So I went over there, and we wanted to play multiplayer, and I didn't have a Game Boy Advance at the time, so we found out pretty quick that we couldn't even play multiplayer on that, after we had read on the box and everything that you could, and we were so disappointed. But that was pretty much the only game I had ever played from the GameCube during, like, the GameCube's time. Now, like, I've gotten older, I've bought a GameCube for the sake of collecting, and I've bought many, many games for it. So, I mean, Smash Melee, obviously, it's Smash, it's going to be good. It's actually, funnily enough, one of the Smash Bros. Games that I don't like compared to everyone else in the world.
You're weird.
I don't know, I just felt like every character was just way too heavy. You'd fall so fast. Like, jumping off an edge, you just could not get back up. I don't know, it's just me. But that's also because I played 64 and then the Wii version, and then I went back to Melee, right? So I didn't get the same kind of progression. I've always heard tons of good things about Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, which I've picked it up. I haven't played it yet. Pikmin was one of the reasons I wanted the GameCube, because the game looked so fun, and I never, ever got to play it. And I think I finally have one now. But I still have yet to play it. Because this is a GameCube. Don't want to go back to play it.
I have to interrupt you for a second, but it sounds like you're on board an alien spaceship right now, because I keep getting this weird pulsing humming. What the hell is that?
That's my hard drive giving up. Let me see if there's any way that I can pause that somehow.
That's really irritating. Sorry, folks, if you happen to be listening to that and it's just you're wondering why we're suddenly going to Mars.
Yeah, my hard drive starts to go off balance. This is why, like I said, I need to replace some parts. I'm looking to get either an SSD or just another hard drive. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to do that. Oh, I have an idea. I'm going to mute myself real quick here.
Okay, so while Jamie is off on the other side trying to fix that, so when I started getting into the GameCube a little bit more, one of the things I was really happy that it did is it had this connectivity thing, and Jamie was just kind of briefly touching upon this with Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. There was this thing called the Game Boy Player, which included this thing that would sit on the bottom of your GameCube. Your GameCube would mount this thing, and you'd put a disc in the top of the GameCube tray, and you could play Game Boy Advance games on this. And there were certain games that would include some kind of interaction with other games. The most notable, as far as I know, I could be very, very well be wrong here, is with Metroid, I think it was Metroid Prime and Metroid Prime 2 Fusion, you could put in, I think it was Metroid Fusion at the time, and you could unlock the fusion suit for Samus, which I thought was kind of cool, which is probably my favorite Metroid suit of all time, actually, is the fusion suits. I just think it looks pretty badass. You could also, with Crystal Chronicles, and I think there was the Legend of Zelda Four Sword Adventure, and you could just, there was just a lot of interactivity within the GameCube, and I was really, and that was with the Game Boy Advance SP and whatnot. Although I didn't really get into the Game Boy Advance as much as I would have liked. It's only been in the last couple of years with the release of the Advance games on the 3DS. I've kind of had a chance to experience that. Let me see. What else about the GameCube can I talk about while I wait for Jamie to fix things on the other line? See, this is the wonderfulness of recording live. And recording live the tape is sometimes there's technical glitches and you, the host, have to figure out exactly how to kind of cover them up. Zelda's with this system. As we mentioned, there was The Wind Waker, which was a game that divided a lot of people, which I think it's finally getting its due with the HD re-release last year. A lot of people started to respect the system. I didn't say it would be a system seller for the Wii U, and ultimately I was proven wrong. As far as I know, that sold remarkably well. And that marked a departure from the Zelda series, because it looked different, it was cel-shaded. It was just different than any other Zelda you'd really seen before. And anyway, they also had Twilight Princess, like we were talking about, how most people went out and bought this version because of the different control scheme. And that's the main reason I bought it, too, because I hate motion controls. And I don't know, with certain games on the Wii, it made sense. Like Wii Sports, yeah, that is awesome with motion control. Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, not so goddamn much. You know what? You just get tired with it, but whatever. I also remember a number of games being ported to the GameCube, and they just weren't as good for whatever reason. I always felt like they were the bastard child of ports. I remember games like The Matrix, what was it called? Not Revolutions, not Reloaded. Enter the Matrix. I remember that being ported, stuff like Tony Hawk, there was, like, I think some shitty James Bond games for it. I don't know. I always felt GameCube ports got unnecessarily shit on for whatever reason for it. And I don't know whatever happened with this. Now, the hardware library.
Is that better?
Much better. I was about to say, now I'm going to talk about GameCube games themselves. There are under 1,000 games for the system. I think, according to the Wikipedia, there are more than 600. And this thing came to its, the software library stopped back in 2007.
Well, the reason that some of those ports that you were talking about didn't do so well on the GameCube, I want to say, is because of the controller. Because a lot of the ports ended up being shooters. And people just loved having the double stick a lot better than the having a C stick and a thumbstick.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's the reason why I didn't play much of the Metroid games on this console. I didn't like how it felt for shooters.
It's a fantastic shooter for what they had, but if that had an actual PS2 controller, man, it'd be so good.
I wonder if there was a third-party controller meant to emulate PS2.
Because the way they actually put it, like the controls in the game, you wouldn't be able to really change it around a lot. You would have to have like a fully modded software for the game. I mean, it might be possible. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. One of the other things about the GameCube, now, this is something very very positive I want to mention while I'm actually thinking about it. Speaking of the controller, I really liked the Wave Bird. And that's probably because it was chunky. It felt more, I don't know, it didn't feel as, I don't want to use the word flimsy, as the original GameCube. It just felt like it had more weight to it. Well, it did because it had, like, a transmitter inside of it. But I liked the way it felt more. In fact, if I played Smash Brothers, that was my preferred controller, was the WaveBird.
I like it more because it's wireless, and the GameCube controllers, they just don't have the longest cord.
Yeah, I always found that kind of weird. The GameCube controllers felt really, really short on the wire side for whatever reason.
I actually think that they had a shorter wire than the N64.
Yes.
I'm not sure on that.
I would argue that, actually. But, so what are some of the other games for this console that you have a particular kind of memory with?
The Zelda Wind Waker.
What did you think of it? I liked the HD port of it. The first time I played this on the GameCube, I wasn't super thrilled, but I loved the art style.
See, I was one of those idiots that back then the art style really put me off, because I like heard about Twilight Princess and the grown-up kind of style where it was a lot more gritty, and I really liked that idea. And then when I saw Wind Waker, I was just like, this is kiddie and I don't like it. But I was young and stupid back then. Now looking back at it and actually playing it via the HD version, it is a fantastic art style. Like, I don't know what the hell was wrong with me or any of the people that have said that it's like kiddie and stupid looking. I mean, it's a fantastic art style. It's not Twilight Princess's art style. It's not meant to be gritty. It's meant to be colorful. It was really well done the way they did all the cell shading and everything for like the bomb effects, the smoke, all of that. The main thing that put me off whenever I tried to play it when I was younger was when I went to a buddy's house. He was like, hey, here, you try it. And he was at a point where he had the boat. So me trying it was getting in the boat and sailing for like 30 minutes and getting nowhere. So I didn't have the best experience because I wasn't at a very good part of the game and had no idea where I was going. So I was probably sailing in circles for all I know.
Nice.
Yeah. Some of the other really good games that I have played, not back then, played Fire Emblem, which one is it? I can't remember the subtitle of it because there's so many damn subtitles of all the different Fire Emblems. They don't give them a number or anything, but it's the one where Ike is the main character, and it's definitely a good game because, I mean, all the Fire Emblems are. Luigi's Mansion is one of most people's favorite games, Nintendo games of all time. I've never actually played it.
But I liked it because I think it was the first Mario game or the first launch title for a Nintendo console that didn't feature Mario, or at least prominently as the main playable character. Mm-hmm. I liked it because I mean, obviously I loved the paranormal and whatnot, although I thought it was kind of weird that you have to hunt ghosts with a heartbeat, figure that one out. But I still thought it was a half decent game, though. In fact, the sequel on the 3DS is fucking amazing. But that's neither here nor there.
I'm probably one of few people that actually have a reverse view on this game. Star Fox Adventures, I actually really enjoyed it whenever I played it when I was younger. And now that I go back, I'm like, son of a bitch, why couldn't they have just left it as Dinosaur, whatever the heck it was supposed to be titled? Because it's not a Star Fox game. It was created from the ground up. I believe we've said this on the show before. I believe one of our Star Fox episodes, where Star Fox Adventures was actually created as a completely different game, where it was like a dinosaurs something or other game, where it's an adventure game, and the main protagonist just happens to look similar to Fox, and they decided this isn't going to sell well, so they put Star Fox and Star Fox features into it, and there's only like a few missions where you're ever in the actual R-Wing. The rest of it is just
on the core foot fighting.
Yeah, it's fighting with a pretty sweet looking staff and everything, but it's really not a Star Fox game. So it's a good game whenever you kind of throw the idea that you want to play a Star Fox where you're just in the R-Wing out the window, and then you're good because you can just treat it as a normal adventure game, like throw Banjo-Kazooie's name on there or some shit. I don't fucking know. It'll make you feel better.
Now, I'm just sitting here looking through the list of GameCube games that were released. this console was remarkably child-friendly. I mean, obviously, it's Nintendo, but overall, I mean, looking at it, there's not a lot of really hardcore games for it. I mean, one of the hardest ones I've seen is Hitman 2 Silent Assassin. That's one of the few, I don't know, M-rated games I can find with this console. I guess outside of the Resident Evils. It just seems like this console was really, really kid-friendly. Because there's a lot of Nickelodeon-type games on this console.
Well, I think a lot of the games that actually featured M-rated content, generally, they really enjoyed the idea of the double thumbstick because a lot of them were shooters, or they just benefited from that extra thumbstick rather than a C-stick. And they probably, since most of those games are third-party developers, they probably went with Sony.
Yes, I mean, Sony or Xbox at the time.
Yep. I mean, Xbox grabbed up Halo and then Gears of War. Well, Gears of War was Xbox 360, but Halo being one of the big shooters. Quake and Doom, I think, were on Xbox. I believe there was a Doom on 64, but yes. I don't think there's one on GameCube.
Not that I'm aware of. No, there wasn't yet. Because there was Doom 64, which was a completely new game, which is phenomenal. If you can get Doom 64, do it. It's really good. What was I going to say? Anyway. Yeah, like I'm seeing, obviously there's the big thing of Mario Parties. I had Mario Party 4 through 7, which Mario Party 7 I think was my favorite one of all time because they integrated the GameCube microphone into it. And I remember a lot of really fucked up Knuckles from that game. Because there's one game where you have to beat this Pokey, which is this stupid cactus thing, and you have to rub the A button really fast. So me and friends, what we do is we take our knuckles and just run them back and forth on the pad. So, because we were dirty, dirty, cheap people.
Mario Party ruins friendships.
Yes, it does. My God, you know what, Jamie? If we can ever figure out how to stream GameCube or Wii stuff and have cameras on ourselves, that's a night of drinking in Mario Party.
Oh, I can easily stream the Wii from my place anyway.
Yeah, I haven't figured that out yet. Plus, that's a lot of work. Plus, my setup's a little bit different than yours because your computers and all your gaming stuff is very close together.
Yeah.
Whereas mine's
a lot more friendly for streaming. Yours is kind of everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. I've spread across like several different rooms. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Other games for this console that I think really kind of stood out. I was a huge fan of the, as I mentioned, Mario Party, Mario Kart Double Dash. This is probably my second favorite Mario Kart, actually.
See, I liked what they did with the actual, like, they changed it up for once and made, like, two characters in one seat. And if you played multiplayer, you could actually have somebody be the person in the back. And you had to, like, both hit the button at the same time to be able to swap. So, like, you could do a lot of crazy teamwork stuff, and it was really fun. I used to play it back in university, and so many angry blue shells.
Oh, my God, yeah. I remember playing that with my girlfriend at the time, and, well, if there's a game that'll make you not get nookie that night, that or Mario Party, that's certainly one of them.
The Mega Man X Command mission was on this as well.
Yes.
I think it's also on PS2, but it's one of the few RPG-like Mega Mans, which is really cool.
Now, this is something I never got a chance to play, and I'm actually kind of sad that I missed out on this. Phantasy Star Online. And using the Nintendo GameCube's broadband adapter. And as far as I know, people are still keeping... Oh, shit. My mic almost hit me in the face. As far as I know...
It's after you. It's going to get you.
As far as I know, there's still people keeping this alive out there via, like, private servers and stuff like that.
I wouldn't doubt it. There's a lot of online video games that had servers that people just can't let go. And they keep running a server for them. Like... people will get really attached to specific games and they just don't ever want to let them die. So I would not doubt that. funny thing is, like, we're both going through these lists here trying to find any other gems. And, like, there's tons of games, like One Piece Grand Battle, One Piece Pirates Carnival, Pac-Man World 3, which I think that one might be decent, but
Star Wars Bounty Hunter was awesome.
Like, there's just so many crappy games on this console.
Like, that's the thing, though. Like, when there are good games on this system, they're fantastic. When they're shit, oh, God, are they shit.
They're a goddamn cesspool.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, game I didn't expect to be fun. There are actually two games I didn't expect to be as much fun as I thought they were going to be. Super Monkey Ball.
Oh, Super Monkey Ball is so fun.
Yeah, I didn't
expect... Going around as a little monkey in a fucking ball.
it sounds stupid, but it's really fun. For those of you that don't know, you take this monkey, he's in this ball, and you move the playing field around, and you have to guide him to the end of the course. It's kind of like those games you used to play as a kid. You'd buy them from the, like, dollar gumball machine. You had to guide the ball through the maze or whatever, and... That's that here, and it's really simple, yet really, really, really fun. Catchy music, too. And you can find this game for, like, a dollar. Like you can buy GameCube games, like, for some of the more popular titles that got, like, greatest hits re-releases for, like, a dollar. Look around.
Some of them are going to run you a lot just because the collector's community thinks they're worth way too much.
Which we'll talk about that in just a second, actually, because I'd love to. Super Mario Strikers is yet another one that I liked, and I don't like soccer yet. This made soccer fun for me. Now,
Mario makes everything fun.
Yeah, you know what?
Except for math and history. God damn those Super Nintendo games. They're horrible.
Mario Golf, I think, sucks. But Mario Tennis is awesome.
This is very true, yes.
Actually, back in the day, I remember... I really wish I had a different transition than that. Playing on the N64, Mario Tennis, I could play that with my girlfriend for hours. We'd be like, all right, one more set. We're tied again. Shit! And we'd have to go until someone broke the tie by two. That was the goal. You had to win two in a row. You couldn't just win one up. You had to prove you were superior. We were a very competitive couple. But yeah, the collector's market for GameCube, weird.
It is... Okay, so the GameCube console itself...
Dirt cheap.
Well, it really depends. It's gone back up again... And I don't understand why, because basically when the Wii came out, you were able to play GameCube games on it. So everybody sold their GameCube. So it plummeted the price of them. I was able to find them for like $10 at Hawk Shops, which usually have the highest price. And it was ridiculous. And it's one of those things nowadays, they're probably about $30, maybe $40. Maybe higher if you're in a bad market, but the thing is the controller themselves, because of two reasons. One, there can be used on the Wii, and now they can be used on the Wii U entirely for Melee and the Smash Bros. 4. That's the only reason people are buying them, but it's enough of a reason that the controller themselves are worth anywhere between $15 and $30, depending on the color, how good it is, and where the market that you're at. Like,
man, I've got like a laundry basket full of these things.
It's weird because it's like people will buy the consoles and just like throw the console in a closet just to get the controller if the price is right. And that price just keeps going up and down and up and down, especially because now they're actually releasing brand new GameCube controllers for the Wii U. Like, you can go and get, I believe it's the Smash Bros. GameCube controller for the Wii U for what? I think it's $20 or $30, Dodd?
$30, like,
and yeah. $29.99, I think. So, like, that has brought the price back down to $30 at the most. And usually, like, I don't sell them for any higher than 20. Like, I'm not going to ruin people's days like that. That's just highway robbery. Because if you can go buy a brand new one with a cool-ass Smash Bros. Symbol on it for 30, there's no way I'm charging anywhere near that, because I would be like, you go get that instead. Like, people are crazy. I don't know. And the GameCube market for games, it really depends on the title, because like we said, there's just a massive amount of just cesspool bad, shitty games. But the ones that are diamonds in the rough, like Smash Bros. Melee is about 50 right now, as of this recording.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, because it's got massive amount of prints. Like, you got to think it's probably... It came out, I think, in the first release or so of GameCube games. And I think there's been multiple reprints. So it's not like it's uncommon. You got the good games and stuff like Mario Kart, Double Dash, Sunshine, all that stuff. You'll get them anywhere between $15-$25, depending on the market. But then you get, like, really, really good games that are just, like you were saying before, $1 to $5. Just because I think it's all comes down to nostalgia with it. The market is just really weird because nobody likes GameCube except for specific games. And I fall into that too. Like, I would rather not pick up any more GameCube games than I already have. I have like 12 and they're all just those really, really good titles or the rare ones that I plan to play at some point. Like the Fire Emblem that I was talking about. It's just, it's a weird market. It changes so drastically. PS2, everything plummeted. It just made sense. Everything became worthless. The GameCube is just up and down constantly.
When I was walking through a Walmart years back, there was a point they were trying to clearance GameCube games. You could get the Donkey Kong bundle, $10. There were racks upon racks of these things. You could have built a chair out of GameCubes if you were so inclined.
It's because nobody wanted them.
Which is, and it's funny because Nintendo stuff usually retains its value.
And yeah, it does. I mean, like I said, versus PS2, it's retaining its value. It's going back up, it's going down, whatever, but at the time, just nobody wanted it. Even people that were thinking about collecting, like nowadays, oh my god, collectors are rampant. These amiibos are insane. We call it Amiibo-geddon.
Oh my god, speaking of amiibos, brief story. So, as of this recording, Future Shop released a very limited amount of the Rosalina amiibos last night at 12 a.m. Pacific time. Sure they did.
They were gone in 5 minutes, weren't they?
No. Let me finish. So, they didn't show up on Futureshop's site until an hour and a half later. I managed to get one, only because I had hit F5 at the right time. There were only 57 for the whole of Canada. They sold out in 12 seconds. I got one of them.
Amiibos are stupid. Like, I wanted to collect them all, but every time I've ever gone to a store, they're all sold out.
Or there's only the crappy ones left.
Yeah, it's all the ones that are mass-produced. And the reason that they're so hard to find the Smash Bros. Specific ones is because there's a multitude of collectors around that are buying up 5, 6, 7 copies of them just so they can resell them for double the price, if not triple to quadruple the price, in a month or so. And Nintendo has stated that they don't want to release, like, just keep releasing the same wave over and over because it's only for Smash Bros. The ones that are for multiple games like Luigi, Mario, stuff like that, they're still stocked because they're for multiple games. It's not just for Smash Bros. So Nintendo's doing the wise but at the same time unwise, because the only ones they're really selling are the pre-orders and then like not even a quarter of a wave, because everything is sold out within the first hour of the release. Like, unless you pre-order, you're not getting them. And even then, when you go to pre-order, when the pre-order opens, like, I tried to go and get an Ike for a pre-order because he's one of my favorite characters. Walked in, and it was like 3 hours or 4 hours after I had heard that, like, it was even available for pre-order. Walked in, and I said, okay, I'd like to pre-order one. They're like, oh, man, that was sold out in the first hour of us opening. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Go online. Same thing happens. It's like Nintendo is just hemorrhaging money that they could be making by just make more of them. And they're making the collectors just buy massive amounts of them. Is ridiculous. Like, It's the worst thing ever as a collector, because I'm like, I want them, but it's getting to be as much of a headache that it's like they're not even worth collecting.
Like, for example, on, like, I've pre-ordered a couple of these things. I was able to pre-order Bowser, Sheik, Toon Link, Sonic, and Mega Man. I hear Toon Link's getting really hard to find. I've seen a few people get them. I pre-ordered, like I said, Rosalina. But the other character, I never even saw a Pit. I never saw a Little Mac. And I really wish I'd grabbed a Marth when I'd seen him.
Man, day one, Marth was, like, impossible to find. And yep. Nobody even thought that it was going to be this bad. They were like, oh, yeah, they're going to make tons of them. But they just didn't make many Marths. They were just like, we'll just send them out as pre-orders.
Which is so dumb, because he's one of the more popular characters in the game.
I just wanted all the Fire Emblem characters. That's all I wanted. And, like, it's impossible to have happen now. So it's like, I don't even care anymore. I have a Fox, because he was one of my favorite characters back in the day. I got a Kirby because the girlfriend loves Kirby. And I picked up Link just because I was like, whatever. You know what? I'm just going to get another one.
Like, do you have Hyrule Warriors?
No, not yet.
Okay, well,
I really want to get that game, but it's just not in the budget right now.
Because it unlocks special content. Although I will congratulate Nintendo for always having some kind of interactivity with their consoles, though the Wii, I think, dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah.
But the GameCube at least had the Game Boy player.
Which is like the best thing ever.
Which you can always find the Game Boy player, but you can never find the Game Boy player disc, which is something you need, which a lot of people don't know. Because I always see them for sale on Kijiji or on Facebook or whatever. Like, yeah, $10. And the disc will run you 30.
Not to self-promote, but Noobs Video Games has one.
There you go.
as of this recording.
Like, I like...
And it's good. No.
I like Nintendo. I really do. And I just... The GameCube, to me, was a bit of an oddity. It's not a bad system. In fact, like I said, I think it's quite a good system. There's just a lot of crap to wade through.
System specs-wise, like, the console is actually pretty powerful for, like, the price that you can get them for. And the games, they run real smooth. And the discs, they can get a lot of scratches and still run. Like, they use the micro discs that they really tried to push into society. But because of that, they also can't store as much as, like, the PS2 and Xbox games could.
But because of the tech used in those discs, you'll notice there's, like, virtually no load times on the GameCube because it's always constantly looking for data on the disc. It means the disc is constantly spinning.
Yeah.
So I think that's actually kind of badass, all things considered.
And I've also yet to find a GameCube that did not work.
Yeah, I've never heard of a GameCube, like, screwing up. Never.
Like, I do know that it happens, but out of all of the ones that I have bought and found at garage sales, everything, all I gotta do is clean up the eye, because it gets dusty. But other than that, like, they always seem to run. I've never had any issues with them. And that's not something I can ever say about PS2 or Xbox. The Xbox original, I mean, those can be thrown down a flight of stairs and still work, but they will have their CD tray break and everything like that, so.
Yeah, with the GameCube, never. That, and one thing, there was never any hardware revisions, really. I mean, well, then again, I guess Nintendo kind of stopped doing that with the Super Nintendo, really.
Mm-hmm.
And their handhelds, but that's neither here nor there. So yeah.
And I mean, if you really would just want a really cool looking lunchbox, you can pay like $10 for just the console, hollow it out, and you got a sweet lunchbox. Just saying.
So, guys,
I don't want to do that now.
You know what? I wonder what people have done for mods for GameCube. So if you have any cool ones, definitely share it with us on the Facebook page or email us feedback@thisweekingeek.net. Definitely want to hear from you. So next time on the show, we're going to be taking a look at the Nintendo 3DS, because next week, or not soon after, I think, the new Nintendo 3DS comes out. And if you're listening to this, because it's Wednesday, look later on today, there should be my full review of the Nintendo 3DS, sort of my 10-minute thoughts on the system. What do I think about it? And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by what I have to say. Sorry, it's taken me a few days to record that particular review. Just Dying Light is taking up a lot more of my time than I thought it was going to. So I guess closing thoughts on the GameCube system.
I never liked it.
Short and sweet and to the point. The GameCube, to me, you know what? The GameCube, I like it. And I like it because the off-the-beaten-path games can be really cheap and really good. You want a great Star Wars flight game that isn't on PC, you're going to find it here. And one of the cooler things I've seen for this, and I've seen a lot of couples do this around where I live, they buy GameCubes to take up to their cottages because they're the last console that didn't make it into HD, really, outside of the Wii. This is a console you could hook up via the RCA cables. So a lot of these older cottages have those huge tube TVs. Why not, right? Because I sold a bunch of games last year.
Well, and it's definitely worth a price tag, too. Like, everything about it, between the system running smoothly, being, being, like, reliable, it's not going to break too easily, and the games, there is a lot of good games on it, especially for kids. I mean,
but you got to put your research into it if you're a serious gamer to find the good ones if you don't want to break the bank.
And bring out your checkbook if you want the collectible ones.
Yeah, so there are some really good ones out there. One I'd recommend, it's really expensive but good, is Ikaruga, but you can get that on Xbox Live for like $10. So
yeah, try finding an Ikaruga. Seriously, try it. Like, I cannot find an Ikaruga for the life of me.
Last one I saw was at Toronto Fan Expo, and I went for like $120.
It's ridiculous.
It's stupid. Anyway, guys, like I said, next time, next week, next Wednesday, you will hear us on the Nintendo 3DS. Is it worth it? How's the system come along over its 4-year life cycle? Is it worth it now? So anyway, guys, until next time, I have been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I've been Jamie J.J. Johnston saying, the GameCube is my lunchbox, and I love it.
Teedly, teedly,
would you like to play Nintendo with me? We can play the whole night through, just you and me.